And it all started with me befriending a local band. And then I started meeting touring people. And before you know it, I was on the road. I've been doing this for so long. You know, I've been on the road since, you know, when I took that job with that local band, I was 18 years old. So a lot of the things we do on Coldplay basically harness power to go into batteries. You know, this is entirely band driven. This is a objective of theirs that they felt very important. You know, they've been very vocal about it in the media. Chris Martin has for decades. It was all about, you know, it's generators. You know, you haul around big generators and you fill them up with diesel, and your feeder cable comes out of those and goes to the stage, and that's how you power your show. But as far as I know, Coldplay are the first artist ever to do an entire show run on batteries. And believe me, there's not a second someone's not on those bikes. Those energy floors are rammed constantly. It's a participation thing. And I think the audience really digs it. And what we do is we take these batteries and we power the underworld. I mean, if you were to see the stage, underneath the stage is a village.
And that's where it's really helpful having high profile advocates for change. For example, if Coldplay say their intention to make a green tour, the amount of activity that then happens in the supply chain is quite remarkable. You know, so solutions start to be made because people are willing to invest into it. It's the same if events that are really high scale, such as, you know, size of Glastonbury or Coachella, for example, like the big ones, it sends a message to all of their suppliers. We want the green solutions. And I could have just gone to work in sustainability, but saw the opportunity through festivals that A, people are in a very different state of mind, or they're open to new ideas. But you've also got the chance to build from scratch, and it's a very innovative place. You can make entirely different energy systems or water systems or ways that crowds move and interact. And you've got this communication opportunity as well. There's not a huge amount happening in some parts of the sector that need to be improved upon, but where it is happening, it's like a beacon to the others that this is where the future is, actually. And one step even beyond that, on an international level, we have to transition to a green economy in order to survive, basically. And in order to do that, and we need to find new ways of doing things. So it's not only something that the industry needs to do to survive, it's for itself, but it's also a responsibility to use that platform for a purpose. And one of the greatest purposes at the moment is to facilitate that green transition.
You have to do a certain amount of shows per week to be able to pay for all that and turn a profit, because at the end of the day, that's what this is all about, making a profit. So we do what we can do and just monitoring how much diesel you're burning and trying to make sure that what you're doing is efficient.
So we have a project that's been funded by Warner, Live Nation, and Coldplay. So we're doing a comprehensive greenhouse gas emissions assessment of live music in the US and UK. So this is a research project, which means that we are going to be producing a report that will be released to the public. And the target for release of that report is July of this year. When you're trying to assess the greenhouse gas emissions of any component of the music industries, you're dealing with a great variety of data sets, many of which are incomplete. And in live music, I think I can say that for the most part, you are in a data scarce environment. So my process in assessing was to verify that they had used the methods that I would have used, that they had used the carbon coefficients that were appropriate to the tour location, and to get a sense of the kind of the veracity of the conclusions based on the variable data that was available. So I did have access to all the data sets. And, on the one hand, any tour has perfect data on attendance and ticket sales, right? They have to. And they have very imperfect data, very incomplete data sets on things like transport of the band members themselves, some good data on power, but also some missing depending on the venue. And my assessment at the end of the day also suggested that, well, this is just the next step. It's not perfect, but it's a very good positive step in the right direction.
All my shows now, whether, you know, I started it, you know, with Tool and Roger Waters and now Coldplay, we, you know, no plastic bottles, you know, but you know, there are a lot of things we can do. You know, there's food waste. People are paying attention, and I think they're going to have to. It is our duty as individuals in this industry who represent this industry to make it better.
Scoring from Blue Dot Sessions. A special thanks to Chris Kanzi, Claire O'Neill, and John Fernandez for speaking on this podcast.